Charles and David Koch are known for giving to conservative political campaigns, but these days another type of giving is getting attention, and that's the money the brothers are donating to colleges and universities. The issue? Are the Kochs attaching strings to those donations that might impinge on academic freedoms? KCUR's Frank Morris reports.
Ground zero in the dispute over Koch funding at the University of Kansas is just a cluttered room on the third floor of the old business school building.
We're in the Center for Applied Economics of the KU School of Business. 9 by 9, no windows.
Art Hall is in charge here. In fact, he's the only employee teaching and doing policy analysis from a free market perspective shared by the Koch brothers. He used to work for a lobbying arm of Koch Industries. A Koch foundation pays his salary. But Hall says the Kochs don't control this center of learning.
At my recollection of being high, there is no fundamental stipulation. It's just the goal, like the many foundations provide grants, is to do quality scholarship.
Hall is popular with students, but the terms of his grant are secret, which leads to questions. At a meeting of the Students for a Sustainable Future, six earnest-looking college women sit at Dempsey's in Lawrence, washing down their burgers with water. Skylar Krause, the president, wondered if the Kochs were essentially buying credibility at the university's expense.
So we filed an open records request just asking these questions, and everything blew up, and I don't know why.
Krause asked for documents related to the Koch grant and to Art Hall's ties to Koch-backed political groups. Okay, you charged $1,800 to get all that together. Faculty and students donated the money, but just before Krause received the documents, Hall sued to stop what he characterized as an attack on academic freedom. A Koch foundation is paying Hall's legal bills.
That tells me that there is, you know, something that these students are onto.
Connor Gibson with the group UnKoch My Campus says colleges don't like to disclose the terms of their grants from the Koch Foundation.
And I think that speaks to the nature of embarrassment schools like Florida State University have felt, where it showed they offered a lot of control to Charles Koch in exchange for a few million dollars.
When the Koch Foundation donated to Florida State and installed a Koch-appointed board to scrutinize hiring, research funding, and academic work, Ray Bellamy, the head of surgery at the Tallahassee campus of FSU's College of Medicine, uncovered all of this with his own open records request.
They want their view taught, and it amounts to propaganda rather than assisting education.
Florida State has since revised its agreement with the Koch Foundation, but Bellamy says big donors still call the shots. Back at KU, Jim Guthrie, the associate dean of the business school, says private funders are getting more and more important.
People use the phrase that we've moved from being a state-funded to a state-assisted university. But University of Kansas is no different in that regard than almost any state institution across these here United States.
Guthrie says private donors are picking up where states are pulling back, paying for buildings, endowed chairs, and basic research. Of course, funders all want something, from just a name on a wall to serious political or economic return. But Guthrie insists that professors keep donors from corrupting the curriculum.
If you've ever spent any time with faculty, you know that we're a pretty strong-willed, independent group. Some people might say sometimes arrogant. We think we know best, and we're not easily influenced by outside folks. We take money, we spend it wisely.
Just inside KU's business school, the Koch Student Commons Lounge offers comfy seats, coffee, and vending machines. A decade ago, Koch University funding was limited to a handful of schools. Now it's all over.
And so currently we're fortunate to support over 350 programs at over 250 colleges and universities across the country.
John Harden directs university relations for the Koch Foundation.
Our philanthropy really is about a shared interest in a school's vision. Our role is to provide the funding so that those scholars and those schools can pursue their interests, so they can pursue that vision that they've laid out.
But Dave Leventhal at the Center for Public Integrity isn't so sure. He studied Koch funding for years and says that when the Kochs spend money on universities or even high schools, they do it to advance the long-term objectives of the Koch political network.
At every level that they can operate in, for all intents and purposes, they're making investments that will build that next generation of libertarian economic thinkers and actors and business people and politicians.
Leventhal expects the Kochs to accelerate university funding, and he says other donors from the right and the left are doing the same thing. And as private funders gain influence, more students and professors will likely step up their vigilance to make sure that big donations don't trump academic ideals. Frank Morris, KCUR News.
And joining me now to talk about all this is KCUR's Frank Morris. Frank, always good to have you here.
Steve, great to be here.
And also with us is Dave Leventhal, the voice you just heard in Frank's report. He's a senior political reporter for the Nonpartisan Center for Public Integrity. Dave, thanks for taking time with us today.
My pleasure. Good to be with you.
Frank, how did you pick up on this story?
Oh, I just read about it, Steve. I didn't have any special knowledge. I just saw it look like a very interesting story. I didn't realize that. And like Skylar Kraus, when she started looking into it, turns out that she's just looking at the tip of the iceberg. It's the same thing for me. This turned into a much more involved story than I would have guessed.
And maybe one big question here: what happened to Skylar Kraus, this student who began asking questions over at KU about Koch money?
Skylar Kraus, got herself into this. This just started about last October. She just Googled and found that there's this guy who is formerly with Koch Industries, the lobbying arm of Koch Industries, working at the business school. And she got into it deeper and deeper, made her open records request. KU charged her $1,800 for that, one of the teachers' unions paid $1,000 of that, and she got the rest of it from other donations. But it has been something that's sort of consumed a lot of her life, and she's since been asking questions about another school, and that's had an adverse effect on her employment at KU. She's still employed, but she's limited, and she can't go into the office where she used to work.
Yeah, Frank, one last point: how long have the Kochs been making contributions to KU?
I think it's just about a decade, and this is, as Dave will tell you, knows a lot more about this than I do. There are a number of Koch foundations, and this is the Fred and Mary Koch Foundation. They're the ones who do a lot of the funding in Kansas. They just gave an enormous $11.25 million grant to Wichita State University.
I was going to ask about that,
and so that's kind of. As I understand it, that's kind of the Kansas arm, but that's been going on for about a decade at KU.
And are the Kochs attaching strings to these KU donations
that we're aware of? That's the unknown.
That's
what Skylar's looking for. That's why she asked for those documents. If you ask people at the Koch Foundation, which I did, they just won't answer that question. They'll just say no. They won't tell you about terms and conditions. They'll say, we're just here to provide the money. This is basically a subject we're not going to talk about. Similarly, at KU, Art Hall says there's no stipulation to the best of his recollection. But, I think there is a question about was it always in the cards that he was going to be the guy running that center? And you kind of go from there.
Dave Leventhal from the Center for Public Integrity. How long have you been following this story, Dave?
Several years, and really this year in 2014, we did some deep dive investigations into the level at which the various Koch foundations, and there are five of them, there used to be six, now five, that are very active in educational realms and also other types of charitable realms. What stood out for us in particular was contained in an article that we published in September, and it speaks directly to the issue that you just brought up, which
about
is
Florida State University, right? Yeah,
it was. Yeah. And the bottom line with that was this is several years old now, but we published a series of email exchanges between the chairperson of the economics department there and some colleagues where he effectively said, look, there are no free lunches. Everything comes with cost. The Kochs want various things out of our relationship with them in exchange for money, not the least of which is us teaching a curriculum that that they approve of, that they will have control over. And the Kochs even offered up extra money in the form of a six-figure add-on to keep Benson, Bruce Benson, the chairman of the Economics Department, in place for a longer period of time than he had even himself personally expected to stay at the university. So the question really is, what are the Kochs trying to get in return for those donations? But not just the Kochs, any big-time donor who may, particularly in this case, have major, major political ties and major political interests. For whether you're liberal or conservative, it seems to be a question on the minds of many students and faculty as to whether this is just altruism or if there are strings attached that are going to determine the way that students are taught or even asked to think when they're at the college or the university that they are at.
Yeah. Hey, how did the faculty members down at Florida State, Dave, react and respond to this notion that, in fact, strings were attached to these bucks that the Kochs were giving to the university?
Many of them were outraged, and the refrain that you get from a lot of students or a lot of professors when you discuss this issue with them is the issue of academic freedom. They feel that even though it may seem to be a sort of idyllic vision of the traditional academy where you have freedom of thought that's ruling the day, it's still something that is very much alive and well in the minds of students and professors who are on campus right now. So this was of great concern to them that there may be other factors at play here that were directing the way that the university was hiring for its faculty or the priorities that it was putting in place, something that was serving donors or funders more so than it might be serving the student body or the faculty for that matter.
Dave, the other thing your good reporting has pointed out was that this notion of attaching strings to academic donations was hardly limited to Florida State. What else have you found?
Sure. We've found, at least with the various Koch foundations, that there, another great example would be in Virginia, just outside in suburban Washington, D.C., about 20 miles from where I'm calling you right now, George Mason University, which has received millions upon millions of dollars of money from Koch foundations to set up various economic centers there and endow different professorships. That may be the best example going of a university that has taken a whole degree of Koch money and done some pretty big things with that. But there are various other universities just in the past couple of years. You're talking well-known places, University of Arizona, Clemson, Kansas State is on the list, West Virginia, North Carolina, so on and so forth.
In fact, there's 163 colleges and universities in 2012 alone, right? Yeah.
That have received some degree of funding from Koch foundations. The ones I just mentioned are at least in the six figures, so it's not enough money to, of course, run a university on, but if you're focusing it or targeting it at a certain department, in particular economics departments, which is what the Koch foundations are most interested in by the numbers and the tax returns that we've poured through, that can go a long way. It can hire a whole bunch of faculty and definitely set up a curriculum that perhaps may not be as robust, but for that money, or may not even otherwise be there. I would underscore the fact that you have plenty of other folks who have different political persuasions, either a different brand of conservatism or libertarianism, definitely many, many liberals who are also very politically active and engaged in this game as well, if you will. George Soros would be a notable example on the left, although he's focused much of his efforts not as much domestically as of late, but in academic institutions overseas.
And to be clear, we should point out, Dave, the Kochs also give money to institutions with liberal reputations, right?
In some cases, they do. And oftentimes, we will talk of the Kochs as the Koch brothers, as if they're you know, attached at the hip. They're very different, at least in their giving. David Koch, in particular, has funded to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars various types of charitable endeavors or artistic endeavors, the ballet in New York City, art museums, cancer research. He had an interview very recently where he talked about how he considers himself to be definitely an economic conservative and libertarian, but a social liberal. So they're fascinating. Whether you like them or loathe them, they are fascinating characters in the political sense and in the business sense. And when it comes to their philanthropic or educational giving, it's something that also too is very difficult to paint with just a broad brush or one color.
Frank, over in Lawrence, what's been the reaction of the KU faculty to the Koch donations on that campus?
Well, I think that they've pushed back. Art Hall is making an argument that this request impinges his academic freedom, sand in the gears of the process. He feels like he's being persecuted for his stands on certain things like tax breaks for wind power. But the faculty in general, just going by the editorials in the Lawrence Journal World, seem to be behind Skylar Kraus and her efforts and not really buying the academic freedom argument coming from Art Hall.
We'll have to leave our story there. I want to thank KCUR's Frank Morris and Dave Leventhal from the Center for Public Integrity. Gentlemen, thanks so much for explaining an important issue to us. I sure appreciate it.